You might not have realized, but in 2006, it was an African-American woman named Tarana Burke who was the one to start the now infamous Me Too movement on social media. Since Me Too has gathered momentum, she's been left largely unacknowledged for her role in its beginning. Dr. Tess Ryan from the Australian Catholic University is a proud Berippi woman and has written a chapter in the new book Me Too and the Politics of Social Change. Michaela Savage asked her about the book and the way it looks at the Me Too movement.
So the book explores how the Me Too movement has come about, I guess, from its early beginnings with Tarana Burke in 2006 through to the hashtag movement, I guess you could say, from 2 years ago, and explores different areas where, you know, sexual violence activism has taken place and what maybe the Me Too movement worldwide has achieved or not in that time.
And what do you talk about specifically in your chapter called This Black Body Is Not Yours for the Taking?
So I talk a lot about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women's, as an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander woman myself, I talk about experiences of, I guess, power and the lack of consent that has been given with regards to, I guess, our black bodies. For me, I see the Me Too movement as something that is sort of beyond violence and harassment. There's a lot more that's involved in it in terms of, I guess, the ways in which we have been represented as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women, both from sort of colonial era right through to current media representations, and what's missing, I guess, in the conversation regarding violence against black women in general.
And now Indigenous Australians are 3.4 times more likely to be sexually assaulted as non-Indigenous Australians. Do you think that statistics like these have gotten lost in the Me Too movement in Australia?
I do think that that's happened. And I think one of the reasons is because sometimes people just feel completely overwhelmed by numbers. And I guess, you know, in a lot of scholarly work, we talk about a statistical rendering. So really, what do the numbers necessarily tell us? It's a quantitative space. But the reality is what would be really more beneficial sometimes, I think, is talking about the stories and talking about power and how it is imbalanced for different groups of people, different groups of women. And as well as that, for me, I think it's really important to talk about the power of Indigenous women in how we have pushed back over decades.
Yeah, and how is sexual abuse and sexual assault typically different for Indigenous women compared to non-Indigenous women in Australia when there's that added layer of intersectionality involved?
Yes, I think definitely it's, for me, it's that there is an added sort of element or layer, or layers, you could say, of power. So if, you know, you're the victim of this type of violence or abuse or harassment, and it's happened, you know, in a lot of personal instances where the colour of your skin or knowing that you are somehow different, it becomes a bit of a fetishized space and a space where a perpetrator can use it as a place of dominance over you. And so for me, I've seen that quite regularly where both the racialized and the sexualized has come into those conversations, whether it be about harassment or in seeing those elements of violence at play.
So it's really quite a different experience being Indigenous and being sexually assaulted in Australia.
Yeah, I definitely think that it is. Other people might disagree with me, but I think that if you're not actually considering the fact that, you know, if you talk about colonisation, you know, or the way in which Australia as a country began, there wasn't consent there, and there's historical references to our bodies as being somehow lascivious, you know, promiscuous, you know, savages, basically, to be dominated. And whether or not people recognise that that is still being seen in the modern era. I feel that it certainly is, and that it changes the way in which power is exerted over Indigenous women.
Yeah, and what do you think is the possible solution to this problem? You know, how can we make sure that Indigenous women are included in the Australian Me Too movement and that they're not left out of leadership roles or left off the covers of magazines and things like that?
I think definitely it's hard for me to speak to it, I guess, in the sense that I see black women in Australia all day, every day, pushing back in this power, especially in the digital media space. I think what we need is more of the mainstream society, more dominant society and media agencies to recognise the unique power of Indigenous women's voices and how we sort of necessarily view things, and also the strengths that we have in our leadership, whether it be with regards to sexual violence activism, the fight that we have in changing the violence statistics or in other areas. I think that would definitely help if people actually started to recognise the power in Aboriginal women's voices.
That was Dr. Tess Ryan, Project Officer at the Building a Cultural Capacity Project at the Australian Catholic University, ending that report by Michaela Savage.